T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Baseball is back, basketball is heating up, and the NFL draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app. The biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.
97.1 FM Talk.
On-demand audio.
I don't even know if Ducey got a question this afternoon. This thing went on so long, and I cut out at about the 45-minute mark. I didn't even hear this question from Nancy Cordes.
Thank you so much, Mr. President. This afternoon, the Senate Minority Leader Mitch McConnell said that the midterm elections are going to be a report card on your progress on inflation, border security, and standing up to Russia. Do you think that that's a fair way to look at it? And if so, how do you think that report card looks right now?
I think report cards can look pretty good if that's where we're at. But look, the idea that Mitch has been very clear. He'd do anything to prevent Biden from being a success. I get on with Mitch. I actually like Mitch McConnell. We like one another. But he has one straightforward objective. Make sure that there's nothing I do that makes me look good in his mind. With the public at large.
Well, let me just say, if that report card is going to look good, we are grading on a very serious curve. 97.1 FM Talk political insider Scott Jennings with us this afternoon. Did you make it through the whole thing? I had to save the show here this afternoon and pull out.
Well, it's my job to listen to these things, but Lord have mercy. By the way, everything you just played, Joe Biden said, is abjectly false. Number one, his report card is not going to look good. Number two, Mitch McConnell's mission is not to make Joe Biden look bad every day. If that were true, we wouldn't have passed a bipartisan infrastructure bill.
And by the way, he doesn't need a whole lot of help in that category anyway, but yes.
I mean, the reality is Biden, every answer to every question today left me scratching my head. That one left me scratching my head. His answer on the upcoming elections, and I mean, Put the shoe on the other foot. If Donald Trump, I guess we have reality on it. If Donald Trump said the next election won't be fair, I don't accept that the results of the next election will be fair. People will be jumping out of windows right now at MSNBC. They'd be jumping out of the window. Joe Biden today went ahead and pre-cast doubt on the outcome of the election because they know Republicans are going to win. And so that left me scratching my head.
Okay,
the
so
fact
I,
that he
I
told
was,
Russia to
yes,
invade
I,
a little bit.
Well, let's go back to that, though,
Jim. Everything.
Let's focus on that because that was in the part of the newser that I played, and I was so confused. I'm like, did he just say that in reverse, or did he mean it? It was not clear.
It was clear to me that he was threatening the Congress by saying, if you don't pass these election bills,
yeah.
If you don't pass these election bills, then there's no way the next election can be legitimate. I mean, that's essentially, by the way, which is a ridiculous assertion. I mean, we just had an election. Is he saying the 2020 election was not legitimate? I don't understand. And so the idea that he, in the leader of the Democratic Party, after everything they've said about Trump, would stand up there and say the next election can't be legitimate. I'm dumbfounded by this.
Well, here he is on the issue of Republicans.
I did not anticipate that there'd be such a stalwart effort to make sure that the most important thing was that President Biden didn't get anything done. Think about this. What are Republicans for? What are they for? Name me one thing they're for. And so the problem here is that I think what I have to do in the change in tactic, if you will, I have to make clear to the American people what we are for. We've passed a lot. We passed a lot of things that people don't even understand what's all that's in it, understandable.
Well, that was confusing, too. But let me play this one more here, because this you used to work for Mitch McConnell. You know him well. Here's what he said about McConnell, a little bit more on that.
The fundamental question is, what's Mitch for? What's he for on immigration? What's he for? What's he proposing? It's anything better. What's he for dealing with Russia?
Now, look, Scott, I can't answer specifically on Russia because I'm not a foreign policy expert, but I can certainly handle the immigration question. What's he for? We're not for open borders. We're not for the mess that you have exacerbated at the border. That one's not too tough at all.
Yeah, he's not for chaos. I mean, look at the border. It's total chaos. He's for having the border under control. He's for enforcing our nation's illegal immigration laws on Russia. He's for. He could not be clearer that he is for standing up to Russia. And in the same press conference, he assails McConnell. What's he for? And then says, hey, go ahead, Russia. Go ahead. If you just take over Ukraine a little bit, that'll be fine. I mean, what are you for?
Okay, so look,
what are you for?
The part
it's
about
crazy.
It,
I mean, the juxtaposition is crazy.
This part, when he was talking, he was careful, he paused, but when he was talking about Putin, those answers in and of themselves are going to be really, really analyzed here. I can't wait to read the pieces tomorrow because that was maybe some of the most confusing stuff that came out of his mouth today.
After 5 years of everyone claiming that Russia had something on Donald Trump, we now have a president whose only recent legislative achievement is convincing enough Democrats to stop sanctions on Russia. We now have a president who has openly invited Vladimir Putin to take over Ukraine just a little bit. We now have a president who has allowed Putin to build this pipeline that he has long prized. We have a president who is openly solicitous and helpful to Russia. We had 5 years of everyone claiming Russia had something on Trump, and now we have an actual president who's given away the farm to Vladimir Putin. I don't get it. I don't get it. And the coverage is not going to reflect it that way, but that's exactly how the American people are going to see it.
Was there anything, because I cut out at about 3:45, was there anything in the 4 o'clock hour, that would be the 5 o'clock hour for you, that was interesting or noteworthy, because I missed some of that? Did Ducey get a question? Did you hear him?
I did not. The most noteworthy thing was the length. I mean, his staff should have cut that off at an hour. They should have never let him do that second hour. He was meandering. I mean, I think, you know, apart from your specific answers to questions, one thing the American people are looking to in their president is, do I have confidence in this guy? Am I looking at your performance? Does it look like you have command of the issues? Do you feel confident in what you're doing? And at no time today, in the first or second hour, did you ever get the feeling that Joe Biden had a handle on what was going on? Most of the press conference, I thought, was taken up by Russia and by voting rights and sort of his meandering. He didn't spend as much time on the economy. He didn't spend as much time on inflation. You know, the stuff that people actually care about.
Well, that was one of the reasons I cut out, because they kept talking about Russia and my eyes were glossing over. Not that there aren't important questions on that front with the Ukraine, but look, that's not what is on the mind of the American people right now, getting tested every day with their friends, you know, trying to figure out how to run their lives with COVID and inflation running amok. All these things, that wasn't covered that much. Certainly not in that first hour, I'll tell you that.
Well, and I'll tell you, this press conference revealed the great, and we see this in polling. I mean, you've seen it, you know, trust in media is at an all-time low. What they care about in talking to the president is so much different than what your listeners, if your listeners were given the chance to question Joe Biden, they'd spend way less time on Russia and voting reforms that nobody cares about, and way more time on inflation and COVID and is my kid's school going to be, I mean, but that's the disconnect between the bubble, the Washington bubble, and everyone else. And Biden is a creature of that bubble, and it prevents him, I think, from connecting in a real way on real issues with real people. And that's why they're going to get shellacked in this midterm.
So, Jennings, Guy Benson had a great Twitter string today with some questions that should have been and he knew would not be asked of Joe Biden. I like this one. In Delaware, you were elected repeatedly under a system that was and still is much more suppressive, quote unquote, under your definition than Georgia's new law. You've called that law worse than Jim Crow. Were you elected under a racist voter suppression regime in your whole state? And he had about 40 of these questions that were absolutely perfect.
And by the way, perfectly legitimate. Guy is a smart person, and I read the thread, These are all perfectly legitimate questions. And if you had, think about if the press treated Joe Biden the way they treated Donald Trump or George W. Bush. If you had a press that treated these Democratic presidents, and Biden in particular, the way they treated others, you would get some of those questions. But that's the difference. That's the difference. I mean, he is lost. Joe Biden is lost. And under any other circumstance, if that were a Republican president up there as lost as him, you would get those kinds of questions. And the fact that you don't tells you a lot about how it works in Washington right
Absolutely.
Now.
All right, Jennings, thank you. We don't even have time to talk baseball, but we're in a lockout anyway. So I appreciate you coming on here tonight. We'll talk soon.
Thanks, Mark.
All right, take care. I wanted to, and I'm sure that Mr. Jennings is dialed into this, but I didn't want to have him sit here and listen to this audio, because the other story today that is somewhat interesting is about this NPR report that claimed, Nina Totenberg at NPR claimed, and everybody ran with it, CNN had it last night, you can still find this story on some of the websites, that Neil Gorsuch, conservative member of the Supreme Court, refused to wear a mask on the bench despite requests from Justice Sonia Sotomayor. So Nina Totenberg reports Gorsuch didn't mask despite Sotomayor's COVID worries, leading her to telework, reported Chief Justice John Roberts. Ordered the justices to wear masks because of the surge of the variant, since Justice Sotomayor has diabetes. Totenberg cited court sources to report that she did not feel safe in close proximity to people who were on masks before Roberts made the decision. They all did. This is what the report said. They all did except Gorsuch, who, as it happens, sits next to Sotomayor on the bench. His continued refusal since then has also meant that Sotomayor has not attended the justices' weekly conference in person, instead joining by telephone. She wrote, Totenberg wrote, Gorsuch from the beginning of his tenure has proved a prickly justice, not exactly beloved by even his conservative soulmates on the court. So that goes out yesterday morning, and immediately, Shannon Bream goes on Fox last night with Brett Baer, says, I don't think that's true. Mike Davis, former law clerk for Gorsuch, shoots it down. And Gorsuch and Sotomayor put a statement out today saying, no, it is not true. Now, I do have this audio because this is something that came up today on MSNBC where Claire McCaskill, of all people, were mentioned. Here's the Mike Davis, who's the former clerk.
Well, I just saw that that Ruth Marcus at the Washington Post and then Nina Totenberg at NPR are intentionally, knowingly spreading misinformation to smear Justice Gorsuch. And this started at the COVID cases two Fridays ago. All nine Supreme Court justices are fully vaccinated and boosted. They test every morning before every court appearance. All the advocates are tested before they enter the courtroom. The Supreme Court spent a bunch of money to upgrade the air filtration system, and for months, all nine justices sat through these oral arguments.
So that, Mike Davis says, look, retract the story.
And you know what's amazing is they will not have the integrity to retract their story. They know that this is false. They now know that Ruth Marcus's reporting misrepresented what happened, and they know that Nina Totenberg's reporting was flat-out false, as the statements by Justice Sotomayor, Justice Gorsuch, and now the Chief Justice clearly states that this was reported by Shannon Bream on Fox last night. So we'll see if these reporters, these left-wing liberal reporters, have the integrity to retract their false reporting.
So far, really not. In fact, there has been a bit of doubling down from NPR. I have this bite. I have to find it because I have a great bite where Senator McCaskill is embarrassed, as she should be. We'll get to that. We have audio cut of the day still to come this afternoon. Sponsored by the Good Feet Store.
Get more at 971talk.com.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Baseball is back, basketball is heating up, and the NFL Draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app. The biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.